And as far as Srimati Radhika was concerned, no one could tell if she was dead or alive. They put a piece of cotton or a piece of cloth in front of her nose, and that way they could ascertain that, yes, she was still alive, though unconscious. And when the gopis saw this chariot coming, you know, they saw this big chariot coming, this golden chariot, they really couldn't tell who was on it from a distance, but they thought, what? What? Isn't it, Akrura came 3 months ago and he took away the life of our lives. Isn't it enough that he took Krishna away from us? Isn't it enough that he leaves us practically dead? He has to come back to Vrindavan and kind of rub the fact into us. He has to torture us by coming back here on this chariot to remind us of that horrible day. What is this? They were talking in madness like this. And then another gopi said, no, no. Krishna, what is it? He's sending his friend here, his servant here, dressed up like a king to show that now I have no more need for cows. I have no more need for going to the pasture ground to milk cows, for hanging out with you simple milkmaids. Now I'm a king. I have everything. And look, you see, even my servant is adorned in pure gold and silver and diamonds and jewels. So what to speak of me? You see that, gopis? I'm no longer a Vaishya. I've left my Vaishya caste behind. That is all in my past. Now I am a stately king, and I have so much opulence. I have no need for you anymore. These gopis were thinking like this. This is what Krishna wants to show to us, how he's happy without us, how he's climbed the social ladder without us. Is this what he wants to show us? And then another gopi said, no. Krishna killed Kamsa, and they're performing Kamsa's funeral ceremony rites. And the Mathurabasis heard that in Vrindavan there are some gopi girls, and they're half dead and half alive, and their hearts would be the perfect offering, the perfect oblation. Their hearts would be the perfect oblation to offer in the fire of Kamsa's ceremonial death. Can you believe this? Can you believe how they were feeling? Anyway, and then Gurudev, after explaining these topics for a few days, went right into Brahmar Geet. The bumblebee coming to Srimati Radhika. Srimati Radhika. Anyway, just the whole conversations, and Gurudev is going on and on and on and on in so much bhav that I cannot describe it. Anyway, so okay, wait.
All right, well, Tungavidya is demanding that I tell you my notes from the Brahmar Geet. Ramchandra Prabhu was translating daily for us at Rup Sanatan. So here's one class. This was on the 16th. He's saying that this bumblebee, the Brahmar, is Krishna himself, and he's describing these conversations that were going on between Radharani and Brahmar. Uddhava was sitting at a distance from Radharani in a corner in the kyari, which kyari is a little garden. And but this kyari was in a very dense place in the forest where no one could enter. No one knew where it was, and no one could enter there. None of the other gopis or gopas, nobody was coming and going. Only the gopis who were lamenting were there, and nobody could come, and only Krishna knew where it was. And so nobody came to disturb them. So the gopis were in one grove there. And then Srimati was in even further remote grove by herself. And there she was lamenting, and the bumblebee went and flew to her and was flying around her feet. And immediately she was in madness and lamenting, and she told this bee to get out. She didn't want him, don't touch my feet. Don't come around me. I know you're like your master, and you only cause misery and pain. He is so cruel, just like you. On the surface, he's so sweet, so soft, so charming, but inside, he's crooked and cruel. He'll love you and leave you, and he couldn't care less the condition that he leaves you in.
Mommy's
and you are the same. This is what she's saying to the bumblebee. You just, saying to the Brahmar, you just suck the juice of a flower and then you leave it. He does the same thing. In addition, he cleverly and expertly controls the hearts of everyone, but he appears innocent. Padma Lakshmi herself is desiring to achieve Krishna. And She thinks that he's very great, so Lakshmi wants to get him. She calls him Uttama Shloka. But Lakshmi is new here. She doesn't know what he's like very well. But we know him from childhood, and we know how cruel he is underneath. This kind of talk is called Parijalpa. So she's saying that Krishna is devoid of love. Then, let's see.
The Yadu Ranis.
Oh, that's...
Krishna can't be without a woman.
Oh, right, that comes. So then the Brahmar is flying here and there in the grove, and then he returns to her. She says, I have scolded you so much, and still you have not gone. You are like Yadupati. We know him. Many times I became angry with him. I told him to go away, but he never went. You are like him, but having 6 legs. An animal has 4 legs. You're even less than an animal. She says, you are totally mindless. So why are you buzzing here? Go somewhere else. But I can hear that you are glorifying your master. But you have 6 legs, and that means no brain. Go to where you... Why are you wasting your time here? Go and buzz where you can get some glorification, because you won't get it here. We don't want to hear about him. We gave up everything for him. We gave up our dharma, our homes, our families, everything. Then he put us in a destitute condition. He took everything away from us. Now we're living in the jungle, and he is now living as a king in Aishwarya. We have become bankrupt by associating with him, and you are praising him. And you ask me why I'm scolding you. So if you want success for your buzzing, your glorification, then go there. Go where Arjuna's friend is. Purnamasi sees the future and said Krishna will become a friend of Arjuna. So go there where he's with so many mature ladies. But you are less than an animal. An animal has 4 legs and you have 6. We cannot bear to hear you praising him. In Vraj he was Subal Saka. Now he'll be Arjun Saka. He's having so many lady friends there. He cannot be without any lovers. Brahmara saying, you say I should go to Mathura, but those ladies there are Pativrata. They will not be his lovers. They cannot break their vows to their husbands. She answers, you are foolish. It is his characteristic to be with ladies. All wives of the demigods, even Lakshmi, who is Pativrata, wants to be with him. There is no lady who will not get attached to him.
From hell to
heaven.
Huh? Hell to heaven.
From hell to heaven. He certainly will have lovers in Mathura also. Brahmara answers, I have come here as a messenger. He loves you very much. But you just wait some time and you'll be pleased and he'll be pleased. She answers, you don't know him. A single minute cannot be passed without a woman. Woman, he'll have so many friends there, so how can you claim he loves me? Brahmara saying, the ladies of Mathura are not gopis. They are Yaduranis. He is a cowherd. You think they will like a cowherd? She answered, any woman from any caste will be attracted to him. No one can help it. Even Kaliya's wives loved Krishna. Only when Kaliya surrendered to Krishna, then they told Krishna not to kill him. Otherwise, they really didn't care. Krishna is full of kutilta. Crookedness internally, this is what she's saying. The gopis became unpaid maidservants of Krishna because he's so... Oh, where's that? Because he's so attractive. Radharani says, we gopis are far more beautiful and far more attractive than Lakshmi. We can think more subtly than her. Lakshmi can call him Uttam Shloka, but we call him cruel. So we are in this condition today because of him. This is called Ujalpa. Pause. Just can read. When Radharani was telling about his cruelty, his cunning, his hypocrisy, then Brahmar went to her feet. She said, go away from here. He said, millions of Lakshmis do not compare to you. I can see you are superior to all of them. Krishna has done offense to you. I understand now. But you are very great, and in greatness is the quality of forgiveness, so you should forgive him. So she answers, but I'm more intelligent than Lakshmi. You are his messenger, And you are talking very cunningly. Now you're trying to flatter me. Your flattering language is his characteristic, and I'm not going to fall for it. Then Gurudev told one story about a Muslim king who had come to India, and he killed and robbed all the people. His minister said, "You're very intelligent." And then the minister told him a story about two owls, which lived in, the owls live in deserted places. So they're on a tree and they're saying, one owl saying to the other, "I'll give my son to your daughter in marriage if you give me 100 deserted villages." So then the other answers, "If this king lives a long time, I'll give you 1,000 deserted villages, because this king will desecrate the whole country." So this is an example of flattering words. Chatukarita. I know Krishna is the biggest flatterer, and he has educated you in flattery. Srimati is saying this to Brahmar. Then she calls him Mukunda. Mukunda one who gives mukti, he who confirms that mukti is inferior and gives love. He who has a smile and a beautiful face is always happy and attracts everyone. Mukunda has made you expert in flattering. Krishna, you have come from Chandravali. No, no, he denies. Yes, you show all signs of being with her. Then Krishna cries and falls on her feet. You speak just like he does, she says to Brahmar. I see right through you and you. Brahmar tells, Krishna loves you so much. He always cries for you. So I think you should make some compromise and get together with him. She answers, we left our families, husbands, parents, children, everything. Today our dharma is ruined. We have come in the jungle and cannot compromise with him. This is called sanjalpa, making allegation and criticizing also. So go away from here. He answers, I cannot go. His heart is very soft and he is always restless for you. Yes, he is so attracted to women that he must always be restless. He cannot help it. Anyone who is attracted to women is forced to be restless. From Purnamasi, we have learned what he did earlier in his life, how he cheated, as Ram, how he cheated in so many ways, and as Vamana, how he cheated Bali Maharaj. The Brahmana said, don't talk about him because you're only criticizing him. So then Srimati's lamenting, we can't stop talking about him. We can leave him, but we can't stop talking about him. In this way, he has ruined us. Ram is called Strijit, he who has been who is overcome by desire for woman. No, he is not Strijit. Then she's saying he is overcome by desire for woman. This is called Avajalpa. Bas.
Okay. Gurudev revealed one really amazing thing, and that's that when in the Bhagavatam there's that shloka that says, Krishna says to the gopis, oh my dear gopis, I can never repay you. You've given up everything for me. How can I possibly repay what you've done for me? You'll have to be satisfied with your own good deeds as your compensation. What Krishna really meant by this was saying, oh my dear gopis, you have given me so much abuse, so much insult and injury and abuse that I could possibly never give you the same amount of insult, injury, abuse. So you'll just have to be satisfied with that. I can't repay you this thing. Because why? The gopis will call Krishna cheater, liar, thief, this, dacoit, everything. But will Krishna dare call his beloved gopis these things? Never. He could never call his worshipable goddesses such things. What else? What other nectar is there to tell? Huh? Subhananda Prabhu. Oh, Vishakhadidi. Your outfit that you made for Subhananda Prabhu's Giriraj, those Girirajas wore that dress every single day when we were out on Braj Mandal Parikrama. So, and these deities, the two Girirajas came out with us and traveled around with us and wore our Parikrama Thakurjis, and they were wearing your dress. So
we offered Mangalarti to them every day.
Yeah, so you can feel that you were here.
Oh, tell her about these places we stayed, all these dharmashalas and everything. The last one, that funky schoolhouse. In
gotta love it.
And the buffaloes in at night, and everybody was staying together. Merry Christmas, the sun was snoring like anything. We could hear her from the whole place.
And Supananda Prabhu was going to give me a shower with a bucket.
Anyway, it was pretty ecstatic.
And there was Gurudev camping out with us in this funky old schoolhouse, no electricity.
Oh yeah, and then in the morning time, going out to take a bucket shower or to pass urine, I saw this man crouched down. I saw this man crouched down at the sewer thing. What is that called?
Gully.
Yeah. Crouched down at the gully brushing his teeth, and I'm walking by and then I notice, oh my god, it's Gurudev. Anyway, we were roughing it with Gurudev. It was really intimate times.
Incredible feasts.
Oh, and feasts every day that Subhananda Prabhu cooking daily from 2 a.m. cooking incredible feasts.
Moving from here to there.
At Prem Sarovar, Gurudev explained how this water is not water, it is actually melted Prem. By touching it, we will get Prem. Krishna decided to leave Braj here, at Prem Sarovar. Why? Because it was at Prem Sarovar that he saw the extent of Radhaji's Prem Vaichitya. Because that's when the bumblebee was flying around her and Madhu Mangal said, Madhusudan is gone, he will no longer bother you. And Radhika, even though sitting on Krishna's lap, started crying, Madhusudan is gone, Madhusudan is gone. And Krishna was amazed, and he wanted to relieve her of actually this Prem Vaichitta, this separation and union. So seeing that Srimati was feeling such intense Vipralamba even within Sambhog, Krishna thought that by leaving her, she would then feel union. So in this way, Krishna left Braj only to serve Swaminiji and to make her happy. Every single thing Krishna does is only to serve Swaminiji and make her happy. By marrying so many queens in Dwarka, what did he accomplish by doing that? His Braj sentiments were stimulated. How? All these queens reminded him of Braj and the gopis. Similarly, Krishna loved Arjuna so much because he would remind him of his Braj Asakas. And why did he love Sudama Brahman so much? Because his name reminded him of Sri Damsaka. In this way, Krishna associated with so many different people outside of Braj and did so many different things only after leaving Braj, only for Udipan, only for Braj Udipan. Gurudev said one amazing thing at Sanket. He said that Sanket means signal, and it's the village between Nandagram and Varshana, and signals are given here for Radhika and Krishna to meet. And Yavat is also nearby. And Vrinda and the other duties, by hints and signals, bring about the Milan of Radha and Krishna. In Nishanta Lila, when the birds, peacocks, and monkeys wake up Radha and Krishna with a heavy heart, Radhika returns to Yavat. For this Nishanta Lila means the end of our dark Maya life. For the sadhak, this Nishanta Lila means the end of Maya life in the beginning of bhajan. Similarly, Vrinda and all the duties are serving here to bring about the union of Radha Sham. And Gurudev is also serving here as a messenger, telling Radhika about us, his disciples, and uniting us with Radha and Krishna. He grabs our hands and leads us out of Maya to Jugal Kishore Charan Padma. Ki Jai Gurudev Jai Ho. Gurudev also revealed that why is it that Krishna couldn't return to Vrindavan after killing Kamsa? Killing Kamsa took one day. Why didn't he immediately return like he said he was going to Vrindavan, to the gopis? Why did he stay in Mathura? The reason being, well, some reasons were given. One reason given is that Krishna knew that Jarasandh, Kamsa's father, was out to get him.
Father-in-law.
Kamsa's father-in-law, Jarasandh?
Yes.
Okay, Jarasandh's out to get Krishna for killing his son-in-law. And that wherever Krishna would go and whatever he would do, Jarasandh would follow him. So if Krishna actually returned to Vrindavan, Jarasandh would follow him there and surely bring about the destruction of the Brijbasis just to get back at Krishna. So he didn't want his Brijbasis to be destroyed or be put in distress. Another reason, why didn't the Brijbasis go to Mathura then? Why didn't they just all relocate to Mathura if they miss Krishna so much? Because they were thinking that we are so many. We have lakhs and lakhs and cows. We are lakhs and lakhs of people. Mathura is a small city. If we go there, you know, it will be overpopulated. It won't be able to fit us all in. But actually, Krishna's dham expands and contracts at will like a lotus flower. So this isn't the real reason. One reason is that
Madhurya and Aishwarya cannot mix. The gopis' full bhavs would not be able to fully blossom, and the fragrance would not be able to flow around Mathura because it Mathura is too much Aishwarya Bhumi. Anyway, the prasadam bell just rang, so I think I'm going to go down. More nectar later. Seriously, I tell you, if you came to Mathura, you'd probably feel more separation from Gurudev here than you do in England. I'm telling you, sometimes I couldn't even get near him. The room was so crowded, and I just didn't feel like going in with so many different people there, and Gurudev's getting so popular. And now a few of the ISKCON ladies actually want to leave ISKCON, and they're meditating on leaving ISKCON and getting some rooms here in Mathura so they can be near the mat and just dive and surface in Gurudev's moods. So we'll see what happens with that. But things are changing, and therefore my realization is that the only way, the absolute only way, whether you're in Gurudev's physical association or not, the only way to associate with him is through... Hold on. Whether one is in Mathura or wherever one is, the only way now to associate with Gurudev is by getting really deep into bhajan. That doing that kind of bhajan which will oblige him to appear in your meditations, because otherwise it's just not the same anymore. Anyway, what else is there? What other nectar is there? Premananda Brahmachari is in the hospital getting an operation on his kidney. He's been having some urinary problems. So tomorrow, Yashoda Didi is leaving for England, and I'm going to go to Delhi with her, and we're going to go visit Premananda Prabhu in the hospital. And what else? What else is there? Yeah. Oh yeah, one amazing thing happened when on like the first or second day that Yashoda Didi arrived. She's been having, everyone knows how she's been in anxiety about her name being Yashoda, Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya, the whole thing. So without her even saying anything to Gurudev, Gurudev just looked at her face and knew her heart. She didn't say anything. This just came totally out of the blue. We weren't even on the topic. It just came totally out of the blue. He looked at Yashoda and said that Yashoda does not just mean Yashoda Maya, but it means that the gopis are Yashoda also. Kishoris are Yashoda also. So she's satisfied now with that name. She's no longer Yashoda Maya, she's Yashoda Gopi.
I didn't say my Yashoda.
Then Gurudev said today, how can Prem Vilas and Yashoda Mata be together? I've made a mistake. Then what did he say? That Yashoda actually means Gopi. You are Yashoda Gopi. There are so many Yashodas. Therefore, Prem Vilas and Yashoda Gopi can be together. And Gurudev loves this name, Prem Vilas. He was saying it over and over again with such affection, as was Naveen Krishna Prabhu today. When Premananda Prabhu, you called here today looking for your wife. And Naveen Prabhu was giving us in the middle of class, oh yeah, we've got a cordless phone here. Not only do we have a telephone at the mat, there's two phones and one of them's cordless. And Naveen Prabhu actually brings it with him sometimes when he gives class in the morning. Anyhow. He's been giving these really amazing Bhagavatam lectures, these really amazing Bhagavatam classes on the shlokas from Bhagavatam. And the first couple of shlokas in the Bhagavatam are described by Vishnu Chakravartipad and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupad on describing Radhika and Madhur Ras, those first couple of shlokas from the Bhagavatam. It's amazing the tikas that they were giving. Anyhow, so Naveen Prabhu, he went and talked to Premananda Prabhu on the phone. And then afterwards, he came in the temple room laughing, saying how, I wanted to say Prem Vilas, but anyhow, I checked myself. And he was so happy. He had to say it a few times with a smile on his face. Anyway, so what else? What other nectar is there? Ananda Gopal and Pran Govind Prabhu both send their loving dandavats and many others. The two new pictures of the two new manjaris are on Seva Kunj, are in the Seva Kunj altar now. And I'm going to be sending copies, one photo each of these two new manjaris with Yashoda Devi, so you can all see them. The mat's packed right now with with householders and kids. It's like a zoo here. Can't wait to get out. But Chitra's getting out. I'm getting out. We're all getting out. And hopefully, it actually has practically turned into the Gaudiya Vedanta Samhiti Nursery and Daycare Center and drop-off center for adolescent kids who are abandoned by their irresponsible parents. Anyway, I'm being a bit sarcastic, but suffice it to say, it's been pretty wild some days here at the Mott with these kids running around here loose with no guidance.
And then
anyway, so I'm going to go stay. Kavita Didi in Vrindavan, she has a room on the roof of her apartment. So it's really tiny little bhajan kutir, so I'm going to go stay there. And Vichitra also has a room in Bunky Bihari Ashram in Vrindavan. And Vrindadevi's looking for a place in Mathura nearby to stay. She wants to stay nearby the Mott. Shamala Didi actually is going to rent... The pharmacist next door wants to rent Shamala Didi one of the rooms in his house. So Shamala Didi's going to be staying right next door to the Mott in the pharmacist's house. She's moving there in a few days. Prayrock's wife, Deva Shakti, her new name is Champakalata, and Prayrock's new name is Pran Kishore Prabhu. Champakalata and her daughter, Vrinda, whose new name is Kishore, I don't know where they're going to be staying. And that about covers it. Uma Didi is the same ecstatic self that she always is. She was telling us quite a lot of Harikatha before Kartik. Then Kartik came and we were really busy going on parikramas, etc. And then was really ecstatic because at Rup Sanatan Mott, all the devotees were very eager to tell us katha. Savita Didi wanted to tell us katha. Kavita Didi was telling us katha. Uma Didi wanted to tell us katha. Sudanya Prabhu wanted to tell us katha. Ramachandra Prabhu wanted to tell us katha. All these devotees wanted to tell us katha. So every day we were just going from one to another like bumblebees, you know, and hearing Gurudev's katha. And Gurudev wasn't speaking much in English during the pravachans. Sometimes he would, but a lot of the times he wouldn't, because he knew that so many devotees were translating for us now. So that was kind of different also, because before Gurudev would speak a little bit more in English when there weren't devotees around to tell us to translate. But this year on Parikrama, there were so many devotees who could translate for us that he didn't really bother speaking that much in English, which is good for him because it was difficult for him to speak in English. At least he performs the lila that it is. So a lot of books are being worked on now. ISKCON devotees are working on Manashiksha, Venugit, Shikshastakam, and Vilap Kushmanjali. And I've seen some of the work and it looks pretty good. And I don't know what else to say. I ran into Rohini Nandan Prabhu at ISKCON one day as I went there to distribute books, and I gave him a Going Beyond Vaikuntha, and I had a long conversation with him, and I sparked his interest in coming to the Mott. And a few weeks later, he shows up here with Shamarani, and his heart was completely stolen by Gurudev, and he just surrendered to Gurudev. And just recently, he went back to England, and he wrote Gurudev a letter, a very beautiful letter, telling him, addressing him as my dear Srila Narayan Maharaj, and saying how, I hope I'm not being presumptuous by calling you mine, but I feel that you are my real friend. And talking about how Gurudev has brought about a change in his heart, and he just wants to learn under Gurudev, and he just wants to practice Raghunuga Bhakti under Gurudev. And he said he's been hard, he said to Gurudev. He's been hard for so many years. Now he wants to become soft, and that he thinks Gurudev can make him soft. And so I thought that was really sweet. He really came in a really nice, sweet, humble mood, and he really wants to surrender to Gurudev. And Gurudev was very, very happy with him and wrote him a very, very sweet letter. So I think you should all invite Rohini Nandan Prabhu to your bhajans or whatever programs you have, because I think he'll really, really appreciate them, and he'll he'll really be able to get into the mood, because that's exactly what he's looking for. And of course, he's interested in any future books that come out. He's interested in getting them, so put him on that mailing list. And let's see, what else?
I'd like to stay, but I just can't bear the atmosphere.
Pajami Radham Arabindranatram Smarami Radham Smadarasmitasham Padami Radham Kuruna Badaram Tatamama Nastigati Nakapi. Meaning, if I will worship anyone, it will only be Radha. I remember only Radha's beautiful, sweet, smiling face. I speak only of Radhika's karuna, her sweet mercy. Radhika is my life, the life of my life, and the only thing in my life. She is my everything. Radhika is my everything, and Radhika is my life. One day Krishna went to his cows, and he said, "Oh, my dear cows, I'm so pleased with your seva that I want to give you the benediction of becoming human mothers, becoming my mothers." And the cows thought it over for a moment, and they approached Krishna, and they said, "Our dear Gopal, thank you very much for your offer, but we do not want to become mothers." Why? Krishna was astonished. And the cows replied, "Number one, if we are human mothers, then with our breast milk, we cannot make sandesh and burfi and kheer and dahi and so many wonderful preparations that you love so much." Krishna said, "Oh, okay. That's the only reason?" Another reason being that if we become human mothers, then there will be no more cows in Braj, and you'll have no cows to take out to graze. And then your afternoon pastimes with the cowherd boys and all these wonderful leelas will not take place. Okay, Krishna thought, that's a pretty good reason. And what's the third reason? The cow said, "And also, if we become your human mothers, then we will never be able to witness your leelas with Srimati Radhika like we get to witness now in the afternoon when you meet with her at Radhakund. So thank you very much for your offer, Krishna, but we prefer to remain cows." Chaterritina loka senyari hey Govardhana Maharaj. Right, I want everybody to write me. My new mailing address is this: Tunga Vidya Dasi, care of Krishna Priya Dasi, Nagpal House. That's NAGPAL House, Nagpal House, 143 Seva Kunj, near Radha Damodar Mandir, Vinod Kunj, Brindavan, Mathura, India. Actually, to be honest with you, I have a really strong desire to come to England just so I can absorb myself in Gurudev's mood, since all of you have his mood, you're totally tadatmic with him there. And here, in Mathura, well, aside from the Mat devotees who are tadatmic with him, there's new elements creeping in that are totally untadatmic with Gurudev, and elements that don't have his mood whatsoever, and it makes me feel very, very sad, and I'm thinking, oh, if I went to England, to Vishakha Didi's apartment, Radha Govinda Mahaprabhu, to Prem Vilas's house, and the katha would be going on, and the mood is there, and it's so sweet. And here, some mixing of moods. It's becoming Mishra. It's becoming Mishra, that's all I have to say. Anyhow, hopefully by the time you all get here, the Mishra elements will no longer be around. I'm not talking about you, Jamuna. Hopefully the Mishra elements will crawl back into the holes from which they came hither, and everything will be pure Visuddha Sattva again. Anyway, we'll see, but somehow I don't think things will ever be the same.
Do you know Prananda?
Hari Bol Vishakha and Madan Mohan. I just wanted to say Hari Bol. And
it's Karuna Mayi.
I hope I see you in January, because I'll be back by the middle or so of January, and I heard you were coming, and we really missed your association here during Kartik. We
were
desperately in need of your association. So Dandavats, Hari Bol.
May the devotee of the England What I tell, I don't know. But you don't feel separation that you are not here and not joined the parikrama. I always remember all of you and everybody. So you don't feeling, and it is good you can feel separation. And then you can remember more and more than Maharaj and everybody of this temple. But if you came here, then that thing will not going.
It's true.
It is very true that when you come and stay here more and more days, then some in your eyes, some fault you have seen all the who are living in the mod. So it is good you come and stay something and then go, and you are doing your bhajan very good way. And here, living in temple, I think there is offense, chance of offense. So you don't mind, you don't feeling sorrow that I am not going there. It is very good thing that you can there remember everybody. That chance of offense is
minimized.
So I wish you all, I convey my good wish, and you do your bhajan very well. Hare Krishna.
Namadiri! Radhe Radhe, Tim Davidji here again. Well, right now, it's the next night, and we're at Krishna Prabhu's house, myself, Yashoda Didi, and Rathe Sri Didi. And we came here because Yashoda Didi is leaving for England tomorrow, and Premananda Prabhu was in the hospital, so we came, we left early, we left the mat at 6. Before 6 o'clock this morning, we took the 6:30 train to Delhi because we wanted to go visit Premananda Prabhu in the hospital. But as soon as we got here, we found out that he left at 6:30, so we missed him. And Yashoda was just at the phone trying to call him for like an hour and couldn't get through because Naveen Prabhu's sitting right by the phone, but he's not answering. He's done that to me many times before and denied it. But anyway, here's Jitendra Krishna Prabhu. He's going to say something.
Hare Krishna, Sashtang Dandava Devi. I want to give you some gift because you mark on my forehead on Bhayadur. So when I went to market, so all shops had closed, so I couldn't find anything for you. So I will give you some later. Something later. Please extend my regard to Madan Mohan Prabhu also. Give the Sastang Dandvat for Madan Mohan Prabhu. Okay? Or Hare Krishna, Radhe Radhe.
So anyway, one nectar thing I forgot to tell you is that when the shloka in Bhagavatam where Krishna sang to the gopis, my dear gopis, there's no way that I can repay the debt that I owe you. You've surrendered your lives. You've given up your dharma, your sharma, your everything to come to my lotus feet. How can I repay you? You'll have to be satisfied with your own good deeds as a result. So Gurudev explained, how is it that Krishna can repay the gopis? Krishna said to Srimati Radhika, I can never repay you, Radhe. But if my devotees, I am the worshipable deity, I am the Ishwar of all 14 worlds, everyone is worshipping me. And if all of my bhaktas, before worshipping me, they will surrender and worship your lotus feet, then through them, my bhaktas, I will be able to repay my debt a little bit. So this means that by doing bhajan of Srimati Radhika's lotus feet, we're actually helping Krishna repay his debt to her. And also, it's said that Krishna told Radharani that I'm unable to repay my debt to you, but when he came as Mahaprabhu, through Mahaprabhu, he was able to repay some of his debt to her, because as Mahaprabhu, he was able to experience her bhavs and her intense feelings of separation and her intense moods towards Krishna. So that was, he compensated for it just a tiny bit. So Gurudev explained when we were doing Mathura Parikrama, one amazing thing, that Mathura used to be called Madura, because there was so much madhu in Mathura. Madhuvan, it was a forest full of honey. And there's one pastime where the madhu demon
came and he drank all the honey that was in Mathura, and he became intoxicated, and he did something riotous. I can't remember what he did. But anyway, so then after that, Mathura became known as Madura. It was called something else before, but then they started calling it Madura after this demon became intoxicated on the Madhu. And then it changed to Mathura, and Gurudev explained a very important thing here, that Mathura, mut means to churn. And Gurudev explained that Mathura is the place from which Krishna churns the hearts of the entire world. Sukananda Prabhu told us that now we are in Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindadevi, Vrindavan. But higher than Vrindavan, and where we must go, is Radhavan. And where is Radhavan? Navadweep Dham. Navadweep Dham! Gaur Mandala Bhumi Ki Jai Ho! Odarya Dham! Odarya Mai Shri Sachinandana Gora Hari Ki Jai! It means everyone's got to come to India this year for a Navadweep Mandal Purikrama. Actually, devotees have been saying that Purikrama changed their lives, that Navadweep revealed itself to devotees in ways that it had never revealed itself to them before. Srihat Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar, chanting Gopal mantra, he was going from one planet to another, higher, 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 successively higher. In the material world, Swarga Lok, this Lok, that Lok, Brahmachari Lok. going from one planet to another till he gets to the spiritual world. There he's going from one Vaikuntha planet to another, higher, 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 Mathura, Dwarka. Where was he actually aspiring to go? And where is the highest point where he ends up? Sri Keshav Jigodiamat.